Let's move on to the second part of the program because my guest is here and I can't wait to talk to Miyoko Shinner. Miyoko, welcome to It's All About Food.
Hey, how are you, Karen?
Good. You know, I'm really grateful that you're spending this half hour with me because you are the most amazing person out there these days doing a gazillion things. I don't know how you find
time. Like everybody else, like including you, I'm sure. So anyway.
Yes. Anyway, so we have a lot to talk about because you're just doing everything, and we want to get to all of that. I think right now the thing that most people are excited about is your cheese. I noticed Veg News on the front of their website is talking about your new vegan mozzarella. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, the mozzarella is fantastic. You know, I'm really excited about it because it's our first truly meltable cheese. But what makes it different from all the other meltable cheeses on the market? Well, there's several reasons. One is that it's something that you can truly enjoy either cold, sliced in a caprese salad or in a sandwich, or melted on a pizza or in a sandwich. And the melting ability of this cheese is absolutely phenomenal. You can't tell it apart from regular cheese. You know, if you put it on a pizza, like a margherita pizza, it really looks like fresh buffalo mozzarella. It bubbles, it browns, it's really melty and gooey. It's absolutely lovely. Once again, it's like all of our other cheeses in that it is a cultured cheese. So we add cultures to it, which is what gives it the unique flavor of cheese rather than adding cheese flavor to it. So we make it in a very sort of traditional mozzarella type of way. We also brine it in brine, which is salt water, to give it extra flavor. So it really is, there's a bit of artistry involved in making this cheese, and I'm really thrilled that we were able to produce this one.
Yeah, well, everybody's excited about it. So this is a great thing. I'm glad it's out there. So we can pretty much get it at, like, Whole Foods, or where can people find
it? Yeah, you can buy it at different Whole Foods stores throughout the country and a lot of independent supermarkets. Natural food stores also carry it. Have we sent you any, Karen?
Not the mozzarella.
Okay, we need to send that to you.
Yes,
okay,
in fact, I was talking to Gary earlier, and he said, are we getting any cheese?
Oh my gosh, okay. Gosh, I can't believe I gotta put that order in with my marketing director. I am so sorry. I'm gonna make sure that you get some next week. So we'll send you some.
Wow, I'm a winner. Yeah. And you know what? I'll take that like as a birthday present. My birthday is in April. So
good. Yes.
That'll be like the beginning of my birthday celebration.
Well,
okay, well, we'll be posting
pizza.
Lots of good things that we'll be making with it, that's for sure. Woo!
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, so here's something I want to ask you. You started making vegan food available for the public with a restaurant in San Francisco a long time ago. You started manufacturing food a long time ago. Then you took some time off, you raised your family, you came back. What's different now?
Well, the whole marketplace is different. The whole world is different. I think people are waking up to the necessity of changing the way they eat because they're beginning to realize the huge impact it makes not only on their own health but on the planet and on animals. I think when I first became a vegetarian or vegan back in the 70s and then vegan in the 80s, you know, most people who went vegan did it for health reasons. There really wasn't that much information out there about the environment nor about the unethical treatment of dairy cows. So, you know, people who didn't want to hurt animals basically just didn't eat them. They were vegetarian. But unless you were really, really worried about lactose or something, you know, a lot of people just didn't go vegan. It just, they didn't understand why. Today, people understand why. There's so much information out there thanks to the Internet and so many wonderful books and publications, all the information that's out there today, it's almost, you know, it's impossible when you look at the facts straight in the eye and realize the suffering that happens to, you know, the whole veal industry exists because of the dairy industry, for example. When you realize the cruelty that that dairy cows have to undergo in order to be able to provide milk for us, you know, it's really hard to continue using dairy products. I mean, it's hard not to go vegan when you really, really get it. So I think that's really the main difference, is that the world is just so much more ready to make that transition. The world, mankind, as a humankind, has evolved, is changing slowly and surely towards a more compassionate life. You know, I really do believe that we as a species are evolving for the better, and this is sort of the last hurdle that we have to get over is, I mean, we are treating other humans better. I know there's still a lot of suffering in the world and a lot of wrongdoing, but just overall compared to, you know, the Crusades or something, we've made progress.
A couple of things I want to say in response to
some of
the
things. I'm kind of rambling, aren't I? Sorry.
okay, I want to talk just briefly about those cows, those precious cows. There are still people that think if they're buying organic milk, organic dairy, that they think that the cows are treated better, and maybe to some degree they have a little more space, maybe they're getting some better food, but they're still being raped, period.
They're still being raped. Their babies are still taken away from them upon birth so that we can in turn drink their milk. So they're having their children abducted immediately, and they are very emotional creatures, and sometimes they chase after their calves. You know, there's lots of stories and videos you can watch about that. Not only that, they're still slaughtered. It's not like they spend the rest of their life, you know, grazing in the grass once their milk production goes down. Once their milk production goes down, they're no longer needed.
They're hamburger.
And so they go off. They become hamburger.
Yeah.
So it's almost worse than if you're just a beef cow. At least, you know, the cows that you see grazing in the grass outside are typically beef cows. And if you see a cow with a calf, then they're usually beef. And, you know, they look like they're happy, and they probably are for a couple of years until the slaughter truck comes along to carry them off to the slaughterhouse. But dairy cows tend to live most of their lives indoors because they have to be. In fact, it's not just dairy cows. You know, it's the same thing with goats. There's I live sort of in the center of artisanal cheese production. There's lots and lots of very very high-end artisanal creameries where I live, and I was just at a trade show last week where I was. My table, the Miyoko's kitchen table, was right next to a high-end goat cheese table. And the woman was really nice, and I was chatting with her about goats because I've started a little rescue, little sanctuary at my house. I have a little farm, and I have goats I've been rescuing. So I struck up a conversation. I asked her, you know, what do you do with your male goats? Oh, you know, they sell them usually when they're babies for meat or whatever. And she made kind of a strange comment. She goes, well, you know, goats are very picky eaters, which I know, you know, it's not true that they eat anything. She goes, you know, for example, they don't eat grass. And I'm like, what do you mean they don't eat grass? My cow, you know, my goats eat grass. They're grazing in the grass all the time. They also graze on, you know, they also browse, on trees, especially willow and all kinds of things like that. But they definitely are out there, you know, chomping on tall, green, fresh spring grass. And I kind of looked at her quizzically, wondering, and she goes, oh, you know, but I mean, our goats, they only go out three or four times a year. And I said, what do you mean they only go out three or four times a year? And she's like, well, you know, they have to be indoors because they're for milking. So that's why she doesn't, even though she's had goats for 30 years, she doesn't know that they actually do eat grass because her goats are indoors. I mean, this is how the industry operates. These poor goats that are chev makers, are confined to a life indoors, except for three or four times a year. So that's the industry. And then, you know, their babies, of course, are taken away at birth and sold for whatever, for slaughter or whatever else, maybe 4-H if they're lucky.
There's this romance around goat cheese, goat butter, and goat milk.
There's so much romance around, goat cheese. And it's, you know, it's not very romantic when you see the life they lead.
Like it's healthier because the goat milk molecule is supposed to be more like the human milk. But but it's not without exploitation, as you just described.
Well, why don't we just have moms donate milk, you know, like human moms, and we can start making breast milk cheese?
Sure, and pay them for
that could be cruelty-free. Right? I mean, and, you know, moms could get paid for contributing their milk.
But, you know, the natural reaction is what? Ew!
Ew, it'd be ew. And then, you know, what do the babies eat? Well, the babies would then have to drink formula. And then people would say, well, that's really cruel. That's unnatural. But that's exactly what happens to these poor dairy cattle and goats.
You know, so, I'm wondering, you said that Miyoko's Kitchen, your cheese factory, is near some other artisanal creameries. And that must put a lot of cultures in the air that all of you share.
Oh, I don't, you know, there's cultures everywhere in the air. It doesn't matter where you are. And there's cultures on apples and lettuce and just about everything. There's basically the cultures are lactic acid bacilli, and they're everywhere. They're everywhere to be found in the air, on fruits and vegetables. It's all over the place. But, you know, as a small batch artisanal operation, you know, we have clean rooms and air filtration and all of this. And they all operate in the same way. And we buy non-dairy cultures from a proprietary, you know, a proprietary blend that we buy, that we source, you know, that are made in a lab, or grown in a lab. So it's, you know, we're not making, but as they ferment, as they age, they do capture additional cultures, or bacteria and yeast from the air, which is, of course, gives it a unique flavor. And that's the case wherever you are in the world. You're going to, you know, if I make cheese here and take the same recipe and make it in, let's say, France in a certain area, it could taste slightly different because of whatever is present in the air.
Now, speaking of France, the last time we spoke, I think your cheese company was just starting. And you told me that you were working with these French cheesemakers, and they were actually becoming curious about what you were doing. So is there an update on that story?
Well, the people that I was working with were sort of consultants who helped us design our aging room. So, you know, we're not working – they kind of played their part. We're not working with them right now. But they were very, very intrigued by what we were doing. In fact, they were teaching a cheese class and giving some lectures on cheese at a cheese festival locally, a big one. And they thought it'd be really interesting to sample our cheese. So, you know, we sent it to them. And I don't know if I told you this story or not, but somehow there was a mix-up, and our cheese got served at the wrong event, not the one where they were going to be, you know, deliberately talking about it, but it got served at the regular cheese event, not the alternative cheese event. But they got served at the regular cheese event and just served alongside all the other cheeses and presented to people as dairy cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And no one knew the difference.
Of course.
And people loved it. So there you go. And these are, you know, these weren't vegan, so, you know, they weren't
vegan. Did that really happen by mistake? Or maybe the universe wanted that to happen, but it's a great story.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right, yeah.
Okay, so the cheese is really good, and I don't know, but I think history is going to look back on you, Miyoko, for really doing some groundbreaking work in terms of plant-based cheeses.
Well, that is very, very generous of you to say that.
It's true. I mean, I know a lot of people have worked on cheese, but I think you've done more than anybody, in my personal opinion.
Well, thank you very much. Yes. So I'll let you record history, okay?
Oh, history. If we're here in the future, I hope so. But that will just require everybody moving from dairy cheese to plant-based cheese, amongst a few other things.
It's going to happen because the alternative isn't viable and it's not sustainable.
So, that's right.
Now, we're running out of land. We're running out of resources. We're running out of all sorts of things that will make this industry just sort of self-destruct eventually. I don't think we're too far off from that.
No, I want to talk more about deliciousness. Can we talk about butter?
Yes.
Butter.
Oh, yes.
Let's
slather
talk about
me
your butter.
In vegan butter. You know, it's delicious. It's a cultured, we just came out with a cultured European style butter. And you're in New York, so Whole Foods carries both our mozzarella and our butter. We start out with cashew milk. We make our own cashew milk, and we add cultures to it, and we ferment the cashew milk, so it develops this sort of tangy flavor. And then we combine it with coconut oil, organic coconut oil, of course, and some other ingredients to produce. And then we churn it, so it's a whole new churn on butter. And it's shaped like butter. It looks like butter, like a European-style butter. And you can do whatever you want that you normally would with dairy butter with this butter, whether it's slathering it on your pancakes or, you know, on toast as thick as cheese, or you can melt it, you can whip it to make buttercream. It browns like butter, which is what margarine doesn't brown, but this does brown. It's absolutely lovely, and we have won a couple awards for it. We were at the Natural Products Expo, which is the largest natural products trade show in the world. We were there a couple of weeks ago, and we won the coveted Nexty Award, and this is an award for innovation, innovative new products, and we won out of 500 nominations.
The
butter did, so that was a huge honor.
Woo!
Yeah,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so we were thrilled. The butter is great.
Is the butter you're selling similar at all to the recipes you have in the Homemade Vegan Pantry?
It is similar. It's better. Because in my book is not fermented. It's not cultured. It's kind of a quickie recipe for someone to make at home. This is the one we make here is a 3-day process. Mm. So that gives you an idea of there's an extra layer of flavor that is hard to capture when you just do it at home. Unless you go through that whole, fermentation process. So, there's a lot of wonderful things you can do at home. You can definitely replicate, almost everything we do you can do at home if you want to take the trouble to do so. Just like with any good dairy cheese, you can make it at home too if you take the time and the effort and have the proper equipment. So we just want to make it easy, I mean, not everybody wants to spend a month making cheese, so we want to make it for you. It's the same thing with butter.
Now, the cultures, they're actually good for us.
They are. They're lactic acid bacteria, so they're basically, what we like to call probiotics or whatnot. They're healthy for the gut. Fermentation is one of the keys to health. Man has been fermenting food for thousands and thousands of years. So definitely any food that contains a fermented component is going to be good for you.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to travel. Tell me about what's going on with you and travel and how people can get involved and where that's going to be very soon.
Oh, okay. Well, actually, the big trip that I'm taking this year, I'll be at various events. I'll be at Marshall, Texas this weekend speaking at Health Fest, and I'll be in Hawaii later this year speaking for the Hawaii Vegetarian Society, and I'll be at Summerfest in Pennsylvania in July. But the big trip that there is actually only 2 spots left for people.
Wow.
Is a trip to Italy, to Puglia, which is it's sort of the heel of Italy. It's a very remote sort of rural area. I'll be going there, as part of Vegano Italiano in September 25th through the 1st. And it's really a culinary tour into the heart of Italy. We'll be going into places that are off the beaten track, spending an entire day at a winery. We'll be going to farms and picking stuff and cooking it together, learning how to make fresh pasta, just feasting lunch and dinner on just delights of the region, which are largely vegan because it's an agricultural area where they've been eating largely vegan food for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. So that's going to be a phenomenal trip. And if you're interested, you can just Google Vegano Italiano or call Green Earth Travel, greenearthtravel.com, or veganoitaliano.com. If you can't make the trip with me, Juliana Hever, the plant-based dietitian, is leading a tour in July, and Fran Costigan, the diva of vegan chocolate and desserts, will be doing her own tour in Sicily in October. So there's opportunities for people to come and participate, but I hope you'll be able to join me. 2 more spots, if 2 of you are listeners,
2 more
are available.
Spots.
I'd love
are
to
you,
have you join me.
Will you be bringing any of your cheeses?
I will. In fact,
event?
We're going to be doing a wine and cheese sampling at the winery that we're going to be spending a day at. So I'll be bringing cheese, and we'll be doing a very, very leisurely wine and cheese tasting. along with tasting many other things, of course. But it's an area where they make their own, everyone makes their own olive oil, people make their own wines, everyone grows their own vegetables. People live today much as they have for hundreds and hundreds of years, so you get a real insider's perspective of Italy.
Really beautiful, lovely, yeah. Romantic, delicious.
Absolutely. It's all about food. You know, that's really what, when you can have good quality
food. It's all about food and not about convenience.
I've never heard that before. It's all about food.
It's all about food. But you know, we have to, okay, sure, you can go and travel to a place, but you have to appreciate the time, the effort, the love, the things they require quality and nothing artificial and cheap and assembly line. This is art, and it's worth it.
It really is. It really is. And that's where we have to go back as a species, as humans. We have to go back to the way we have been eating for hundreds and hundreds of years, really. I mean, and just really get in touch with the foods that really matter to us, which are pure and clean.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned the goats and this sanctuary. So tell us a little bit more about that. How many goats do you have and where do they come from?
Well, we moved to a ranch last summer with this crazy idea we'd start rescuing animals. And the first animals we rescued were two goats from Animal Place, which is a wonderful sanctuary in Grass Valley. And in fact, we're going to be doing a fundraiser for Animal Place at my house on May 22nd. So if anybody wants to attend that, be sure to just go to animalplace.org. But anyway, so we got these two goats, and they were strays. They were males. They're of a breed that's specifically known for dairy production. But the males, of course, don't produce milk. So they're usually, as I mentioned, either sold off or sometimes abandoned if, you know, they don't grow big enough for meat or whatever. So anyway, so these two were abandoned in a field. So that's where they came from. And then I have another goat and another sheep that are in love with each other, Benny and June. named after that Johnny Depp movie. But anyway, Benny and June are two oddball, different species that love each other. And they were raised in a dog run, isolated in a dog run without any grass or anything. They really had never walked more than 4 feet. It was like they'd spent six of their years. They're about 6 years old. So we rescued them from Farm Sanctuary, or not rescued them from, but Farm Sanctuary rescued them, and then we adopted them from Farm Sanctuary.
Yeah.
And then we also have three pigs, three pot-bellied pigs that were once again purchased by somebody as pets, and then the man died, and then they had to find a new home. And then we have 17 chickens, including two roosters, one transgender rooster, one rooster that everybody thought, including Farm Sanctuary, thought was a hen. And after 9 months, all of a sudden started displaying rooster-like qualities and then turned into a full-blown rooster about, 5 or 6 months after they normally, become roosters or reveal those rooster-like characteristics. So that was sort of unusual. We're going to be adopting more animals. We have plenty of room. We have lots of acres. So, and it's wonderful. I've had wonderful volunteers that have stepped up and helped me, when I travel or whatnot. So animals are getting attention and lots of acres to roam.
And where is this?
Yeah, we are in West Marin, which is kind of north of San Francisco, and it's absolutely lovely. And I don't know, I find so much peace being with the animals, like I've never found. I could spend hours and hours and hours, when I'm with the animals, you're just sort of in the moment with them, connecting, and you're not thinking about anything else, and all your worldly troubles just go away. Because nothing really matters except, giving them another willow branch to chomp on.
Earlier about the Easter holiday, and one of the things that's important for many people during Easter after they've gone through their services and talked about the precious, peaceful lamb is to go and eat lamb. And
isn't that strange?
Isn't that strange?
I just don't get it. I just don't get the disconnect at all. And, you know, where I am, I'm in farmland, so, we're surrounded. The name of our little sanctuary is Rancho Compasión, but we're surrounded by all these ranches with everything from, there are lots of horse ranches, but lots and lots of cattle, sheep, they're just all over the place. Down the street, you see the little veal crates, the little white huts that you, if you didn't know what they were before, if you ever drive to the country, you see this little white, little huts that are lined up one after the other. They house individual veal calves that are very sad and lonely and are just awaiting their day of slaughter. So to be your
dinner. Another human invention. So anybody can just Google veal calf, containers or you can get pictures of them. It's just another obscene human creation.
Yes, it's absolutely awful.
Yeah. Okay. So and you can see them in the West Marin area.
Yeah.
That's lovely.
Oh yeah, you see them, and sometimes I just feel like pulling over and going and rescuing one of them. But
yeah, of course. But then they'd put you in jail.
They would. So I just keep hoping that, one of them will just escape or something and be by the side of the road and I'll be able to put it in my car and drive off or something. But,
I mean, that's again where money could really help, because if we all could, we could buy up all of those animals and save them. But then they'd probably just artificially inseminate more and make more.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the trick is to stop eating them. And one way to do that is to move from dairy, cow-based, and goat milk-based cheeses over to the plant-based, nut milk-based cheeses. And that brings us back to Miyoko's Kitchen. There's lots of choices. Do you have any, in addition to the mozzarella, are there some new flavors that have come out recently?
No, the mozzarella and the butter are two big regular SKUs that we just introduced. We'll probably do more limited edition ones. Last year we had a small limited edition run of a new flavor almost every single month just for fun. And we'll probably start that up again. We're growing so fast. We haven't put any energy into new flavors at this time, but we have a lot of other new retail products that we have in the pipeline for introduction later this year and next year. So keep tuned. And if you can't get it at your current natural food store, just ask for it. We've got nationwide distribution now. So if it's not near you now, it will be sooner. It will be soon. So, just talk to your store if you can't find our products.
That's good. Is there a favorite flavor? For your customers?
Well, definitely mozzarella is selling like crazy. And there's pictures all over the internet of people making pizza with our mozzarella. So that's really popular. The butter also is phenomenal. And then in terms of the artisanal cheeses, my personal favorites are probably the Mount Vesuvius Black Ash,
which is
an aged cheese. Yeah, I love the Smoked Farmhouse, and then the Loire Valley in a fig leaf, which is a seasonal item. We're out of stock now because we ran out of fig leaves, and we'll start producing it again probably in May when fig leaves come back in season.
So I'm just curious, you started this, two, 3 years ago now?
No, in September of 2014. It has been a year and a half.
Not even 2 years.
No.
Have the flavors developed at all, or they're pretty much the same for the cheeses? And do you have some that you're aging a little longer, or not really?
Well, that's the issue. Right now, we are actually looking for a larger facility to move into because we have limited aging capacity. And we can only age so many thousands of units per month in our aging room. That limits our production. I would love to age. We do have cheeses that we have aged just as an experiment for several months They are absolutely phenomenal. And we'd love to be able to introduce a line of cheeses like Parmesan and things that are aged for, you know, 8 to 12 months. We don't have the capacity right now, but so right now we have to, you know, kind of, I would say the cheeses that we release are on the young side, meaning that, you know, they could be aged longer, but we have such demand that, you know, we're pushing them out a little bit sooner than we would like to. But they're still delicious. And if you ever get a young cheese, like one of the farmhouses that seems not quite as hard as you like, you know, wrap it in wax paper and keep it in your refrigerator, it will actually continue to age in your fridge and get harder. Some of the cheeses, you know, I've had in my fridge for over a year, and they can become like a Parmesan in that you can grate it very, very finely over pasta or something. So,
wow, that's exciting. Yeah. And we have a lot to look forward to. So, Miyoko, thank you for joining me. And it's all about food and for everything that you're doing for cheese and butter and everything. This is really wonderful. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for having me on your show.
Okay. Take care. Be well. Travel
okay,
safely.
You too. Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. That was Miyoko Shinner. And you can check out more at Miyoko's Kitchen.com. And if you haven't tried her cheeses and now her butter and mozzarella cheese, I hope you do that soon. I'm Karen Hart. Glad you've been listening to It's All About Food. Join me at responsibilityandliving.com. Send me emails at info@realmeals.org. And remember, have a delicious week. Bye-bye.